In our second case, 2022-1082, in the matter of the State of Ohio, City of Toledo versus Antonio Randolph, we have two appellants today. Dividing the time of the appellant, Ms. Fasci, representing the City of Toledo first. Good morning.
Good morning. Chief Justice Kennedy, and may it please the court, Rebecca Fasci on behalf of the City of Toledo, co-appellant in this matter, as both sides certified this conflict to this court before you today. The city would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal of our 7.5 minute argument. The primary issues before the court today are whether a rental property owner and its agents are able to prohibit a person from entering onto their property, such that a tenant is prohibited from inviting that same person back onto the property.
Well, is that really the question? I mean, because clearly a rental property owner can do that. They can put a provision in a lease that says they can do that. But that's not what happened. At least that's not what the evidence shows here.
Well, you're right, Justice, that is clear in the law, and certainly under the criminal trespass statute for which appellant Mr. Randolph was convicted by the trial court. And what the evidence did show was that he had been told repeatedly that he is not to come on the Greenbelt apartment complex because of past bad behavior, entering vacant units in which he had no invitation.
But here he wasn't in a vacant unit. He wasn't in a common area. He was in someone's apartment that someone had leased. And the state didn't put on any evidence to show that there was any lease provision that allowed the landlord to control the occupancy of that.
Yes, Your Honor.
It seems to me this is not a issue of whether or not landlords can ban people from apartments. The question is, it's a question of what kind of evidence the state put on.
Yes, Your Honor. And while the state did produce evidence that the property manager had told this individual that he was not welcome back at the Greenbelt Apartments in the future, on the day in question and for which he was convicted of criminal trespass.
But how does that reconcile with the fact that he was an invitee of a resident of the property? So well, didn't he have the privilege to be there?
Right, and I think this case is about who has the right to grant or revoke privilege. And while it's clear that the apartment complex had banned this individual,
had banned simply by saying, don't come back?
As well as a posted notice on the front door of the apartment complex.
But any legal action, any court order that prohibited him, that made him violate the law for being there?
There was no court order or legal action.
So if a resident then has him as a guest, as an invitee, how does the state or the city satisfy its burden of being there without privilege? Because even if the association or the Greenbelt said, don't come on the premises anymore, so if his uncle or the person invited him moved, he'd have nobody to grant him the privilege to be there. He shouldn't be there. But now you have a resident who says, yes, you're here as my guest. So now the privilege is invoked again. He's got it. So how does that satisfy the elements of the crime?
Well, under the criminal statute, revised code section 2911.21, which is cited on page 6 of the 6th District's decision in this matter, it states that notice via signage or otherwise by either the occupant or the owner can revoke privilege. And that is what we have in this case. The property manager revoked Mr. Randolph's privilege to be at the Greenbelts.
But the department person gave it back to him.
And so the question to the court is that tenant able to do that? And I think
what law says the tenant is not? I mean, didn't the Apartment Association have other legal means to keep him out of the property, or to not have the tenant be able to reinstate that privilege, or to have him charged with some other menacing or disorderly conduct, some other offenses that could have then revoked his privilege?
Yes. Well, and I think that this goes to the overall policy matter before the court today. Does the property management not have the right to tell someone they can't come back based on past behavior and not be in a position to wait for future bad behavior?
If property management wants that right, why not just put it in every lease?
Excellent question, and certainly a matter for the Greenbelt to review, but also by fulfilling their obligation to provide quiet enjoyment to everyone else, they felt that they fulfilled their duty in the verbal and written notification that Mr. Randolph was no longer welcome on the property.
Does the city take the position that Mr. Randolph was not an invitee of his uncle?
No, there was no evidence in the record to suggest that he was not invited there by his uncle.
So if he's invited by his uncle, there's nothing in the lease, tell me exactly how he trespasses.
Under the criminal code, having had his privilege revoked by the property management team, it is the city's position that the tenant did not have the ability, and under the second district's decision in Smith, that the tenant was not legally able to re-invoke his privilege to be there.
Were there posted rules and, were there posted rules and regulations?
Not that the city is aware of.
So only a sign posted that he likely didn't see, saying he's not allowed to be on the property.
As well as the repeated verbal warnings to him of just that message.
So essentially you've got the clash of the landlord, we've got to just do this under landlord-tenant law with no lease here. So you've got the clash of the tenant's right to quiet enjoyment, which includes allowing people that they want to come and go to come and visit them, and the landlord, you know, with whatever rights that he has, or she, whomever.
Yes, Your Honor, but I caution this court to not rely, as I think Herman and Seitz wanted to in their decisions on civil property law and those long-held landlord-tenant possessory versus title issues that civil law deals with. This is a criminal trespass.
Wait a second, but doesn't trespass depend on concepts of civil law? I mean,
well, there is a definition of trespass in criminal law, which
right.
is to enter without privilege, which, of course, again, this all goes back to privilege and who has that right to grant it and revoke it. It is the city's position that the property unit had the right to revoke it, and it was revoked from there on out.
I have a follow-up question. Is there an ordinance or statute in Toledo that says the landowner can revoke the privilege in an unwritten lease of the tenant?
No, Justice, there is not.
But don't we have to rely on civil law to get to whether or not the person has a right or a privilege to be there?
Certainly, the civil law can give us guidance, but I think that there is a distinction when it comes to criminal trespass, which there is a specific code for and allows for the landlord to revoke.
And so you say essentially that bypasses or trumps this right of quiet enjoyment or that the tenant has, that the landlord owes to the tenant, even under the statute, aside from the fact that there is no written lease in the record?
I think that the laws do have to work in concert, and certainly the property owners have many obligations to fulfill, both civilly as well as criminally. But important that property management, particularly in these large multi-unit complexes, have a recourse immediately, not just through civil means, to remove someone who is a nuisance or danger to the property and violating the quiet enjoyment of other residents.
So it's kind of conflicting with the multi-unit structure.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Kendall, on behalf of Mr. Randolph.
Thank you very, very much, Chief Justice Kennedy, and may it please the court. On behalf of Mr. Randolph, I would like to ask this court to affirm the decision of the 6th District and to sort of wend their way through the four versions of the certified questions that were presented. The majority stated it as, can an owner prohibit a person from entering, which...
Let me ask a question.
Sure.
At this apartment building, could Mr. Randolph get to his uncle's apartment without going through general property?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay.
And therein lies the essence of the issue is the possessory interest of the resident and versus the landowner. And the majority here based their opinion, presumptively at least, on the distinction in the facts between Scott and Smith and the facts here, Scott being the contract issue where the defendant was found not to be able to essentially invite somebody in, and that was because it was in their contract or in their lease that they were not allowed. If anybody was prohibited from the property, that was the controlling document that they had agreed to and signed when they first moved in. That being distinctly different from the situation at Greenbelt, where there was no evidence presented that there was anything similar with the Luther County Housing Authority. And then in Smith, there was a disturbance or a breach of the peace that occurred as a result of the defendant's own actions, which in this case was also different, where the defendant was in the residence with an invitation at a party. There was a noise complaint that was ultimately how he was discovered, but there was no facts where he was found personally culpable for the disturbance, for the noise, for the trash, or for any of that. So he was simply visiting the apartment of his uncle with that permission. And the majority distinguishes the facts, those facts, from Scott and Smith, and therein lies the certified question, which was then kind of restated by Judge Muda in his concurring but separate opinion, where he found that really the key issue wasn't so much can an owner prohibit a person or must an owner sacrifice possessory interest, as does the state have to prove that the person doesn't have privilege. And he feels like that sometimes is presented as a defense to the issue of criminal trespass, and his argument is that that should actually be an element of the offense, that the state has that burden to prove, and in this case, they did not. And then he addressed the lease issue by saying that he believes that the contractual possibility, basically, can be addressed with a lease agreement that would grant the lessee essentially a rebuttable presumption to be able to invite whoever they wish into their residence, absent unless it's overcome by a provision of the document that would actually prohibit that. I think both groups, the majority and Judge Smuda, are essentially saying the same things, and they all agreed that in this case there's a distinction between Smith and Scott. They felt that the facts were similar to the facts in both Height and Herman in two other districts. And they both presume that they both reversed the trial court and found that it was improper for Randolph to have been convicted of criminal trespass. They just kind of looked at it for slightly different reasons. And I think the Judge Muda's argument actually gives this court an opportunity, if it so chooses, to weigh in on the actual law as to whether the term without privilege to do so should be treated as an element of the offense or whether that should be treated as a defense to the allegation of or the offense of criminal trespass. If there's no other questions, I would ask the court to affirm the 6th District.
Thank you. You used all of your time, so 30 seconds.
Thank you, Chief Justice. I would just note that while there is no, the record shows that Mr. Randolph was there as an invitee of his uncle. His uncle was not present. His uncle did not testify. And the trial court, who was there to assess the credibility of the witnesses, found that Mr. Randolph was not credible in his testimony when saying he had never been warned by the property to be there. So for those reasons and those cited by the city earlier, we would simply ask that this court reverse the Sixth District's decision and weigh in and make precedent on this ongoing conflict of law. Thank you.
You still have 3 minutes, 8 seconds.
Okay, thank you. This, obviously, it's the first time I've argued a certified conflict and didn't realize that I needed to change the position of, but anyway. I would just argue or just point out that the Sixth reviewed all the facts. There were disputed facts across the board. There was nothing in writing. Mr. Randolph was allegedly given multiple verbal warnings. Nobody attempted to arrest him any time until they found him in an apartment lawfully leased by his uncle, not causing any problems. There was the list that was referred to was simply a list of people who were alleged.
You said they found him in his uncle's apartment not causing any problems?
Correct. There was no issues of damage or of him personally being the source of the noise or the trash or whatever that had caused the property manager to come to the apartment.
It was him or his guest?
Correct. There were 11 people, I believe, in the apartment. When he was arrested, there was no resisting. I mean, he himself did not appear to be actually the problem. The problem that was presented was, were all of these verbal notices from prior events a controlling issue, or was that enough to actually ban him from the property? And what the Sixth found was no, basically. That even if all of those things happened, that's not beyond a reasonable doubt that he knew, and that the property owner knew, for that matter, the resident knew. And in fact, Judge Muda suggests that really, if there was a problem, the solution here would have just been an eviction or some sort of action against the resident. He could have been asked to leave or to expel the defendant. But he wasn't doing anything, and the party itself wasn't tracked to any particular individual, at least that was in the facts that were presented. So the question was, did they prove it by beyond a reasonable doubt? And the Sixth found no, and I would ask this court to affirm that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll receive a decision from the court.